Welcome to episode 2 of What a Time to Be Alive, a podcast about the reasons we love life. I'm Darcy. My pronouns are they, them.
I'm Faith. My pronouns are she, her.
So let's talk about what we're excited about this week. I want to go first.
Yeah, you go first.
What I'm excited about this week is roller coasters. Because
are cool.
Faith and I are going to Dollywood this weekend. I've only been there once in my life, which is crazy because I'm from the smack dab middle of Tennessee. How many times have you been there?
I don't even know. We used to go all the time when I was a kid.
What's your favorite ride?
I think back then my favorite was, like, the swings where you, like, go around and around.
Okay, those are lame, though. Whenever you're little...
No!
Listen, whenever you're little, you think they're cool. You think, wow, those swings look like they're going real fast. And then you get on it, and it's just like... I mean, it's nice and chill.
Yeah.
But it is not an adrenaline kind of thing.
Yeah, I definitely feel like it's not going to be my favorite anymore. But, like, as a kid, that was my favorite.
Yeah.
I'm sure I'll have a very different experience now as an adult. Also, I'm very short. And that was a big problem.
Yeah.
Back when I was little.
Did you almost fall out of the roller coasters?
Well, no, not really. But I couldn't ride a lot of them.
Yeah.
Because, like, I would be, like, 12 and, like, couldn't ride it because I was as tall as, like, an 8-year-old.
Yeah.
And that was unfortunate.
It's always really sad when you go to the fair and these kids have been waiting in line for, like, forever to get on the ride. And they finally get up and they're, like, under the red line or whatever. And I'm like, ooh, sorry, kid. Hey, but we've all been there growing up. And so they got to pay their dues and they'll get there. I had to pay my dues. We all got to do it so you can ride those big ol' zoomies. Yeah, so I'm really excited about Dollywood because roller coasters are basically my life. Like, I'm constantly itching to be on a roller coaster. If there's a fair near us, I don't care how much it costs. I'll be there.
Wow.
So I'm really, really excited about that.
I didn't know how much you love roller coasters until just now in this moment.
Is that sarcasm?
No, I'm being serious.
Really?
It's hard to tell. Yeah. I mean, like, I knew you were excited for Dollywood, but I thought it was mostly, like, just, like, hanging out with friends. I didn't realize how much the roller coasters.
No, fuck friends. I'm all about the roller coasters.
Okay, well, now I know. You know? Like, I just needed to know how important that was to you.
But, like, top 5 things that are important to me. Uh-huh. Number 1 is roller coasters.
Oh, wow.
If I believed in God, God would be under roller coasters. Wait, do you like roller coasters?
I do like roller coasters.
Okay, like, on a scale from the swings to, I don't know, the tallest, fastest, most loopy, highest roller coaster in the world, where are you about riding roller coasters? Will you ride any or what?
I think I'll ride any. It may take me a little bit to, like, hype myself up to do it.
Yeah.
But then
I believe in you.
I'm determined to be like, okay, I'm not going to be too scared to do this.
So have you ever been on the Rocket in Universal?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. So, like, the Rocket is my favorite roller coaster I've ever been on. It's amazing.
Wow.
You get to pick what song you want. Each person picks a song, and they're a big-ass speakers right next to your ears, and the whole time the roller coaster is going, you get to listen to this, like, awesome pump-up song while you're going. I always pick I Will Survive by Gloria Gaynor. What's afraid?
Oh, yeah. I have never ridden that, no.
Oh, God, it's so good. And if I went now, and if I could pick any song, I would want it to be like, oh, you know that Icona Pop song? It's like, I crashed my car into a bridge. I don't care.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so good. It's like such a pump-up song.
Wow. So can you pick like any song ever, or is there like a certain list?
No, there's a certain list. I mean, it has like a bunch of genres and a bunch of like well-known songs, but it's not Spotify. On this roller coaster. That'd be great, though.
Yeah.
What are you excited about this week?
I am excited about a D&D campaign that I'm going to be doing this summer with my friends from high school and my sister and brother-in-law.
Okay, so why don't you explain what Dungeons & Dragons is?
Okay, Dungeons & Dragons is a tabletop role-playing game where basically a certain amount of people, and it can really be any amount, usually somewhere between 3 and 5 people are like a party of adventurers, and they make characters that have different abilities and skills and that kind of thing. And one person is the dungeon master, and they kind of tell a story and take the players through it, and it's just you get to role play what you would do in the situation. It's really fun.
Tell us about your campaign.
So it's going to be a post-apocalyptic thing with like elements of magic in it. So basically the way it goes is that like there was an apocalypse brought on by nuclear warfare, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the fallout of that, people started to develop magical abilities, like the ability to manipulate elements.
Mm-hmm.
And so where we are right now, there's basically one like lead faction that is people who worship the like chaos and disorder that is the world now, and they're all like essentially firebenders, if you watch Avatar The Last Airbender.
Not everyone watches that faith.
They control fire. But I'm going to be playing someone with psionic abilities, which means, like, telepathy, telekinesis, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I can, like, shoot balls of energy. That is so cool. I know.
So you can read people's minds?
I think I can, yeah. I don't really know exactly how it's going to work, yeah. But I'm really excited.
I had no idea about it, like, didn't really know anything about it. I guess I'd seen it on Stranger Things, as everyone has, until I met Hope and Faith, and they were like, listen, you got to play this Dungeons & Dragons stuff. And then I started listening to The Adventure Zone, which is an amazing Dungeons & Dragons podcast made by the McElroy brothers. And I was just, like, dying to play. Like, I had to play. And so I joined a D&D group. I'm getting, like, the basics down and learning how to play. And I kind of already knew how to just because I listened to, like, literally 70 hours of people playing. But, yeah, that's been great. And my character is a human fighter named Albion. He's got a big-ass axe, and he fights people. He's really good. I killed a dragon once. Not a big one. It was a baby. I don't want to set a precedent.
You killed a baby dragon?
It was evil.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah. There are tabletop role-playing games that aren't Dungeons & Dragons, but I kind of fit them all together because they're all very similar. So I am DMing a game, not this summer, probably this fall, but I've started writing it based on Monster of the Week, which is also what they're playing on the Adventure Zone. And it's just similar to Dungeons & Dragons. It's more like based on shows like Supernatural and Buffy. There's a monster, and you have to investigate and figure out its weakness and kill it. And so I think that's easier. It's an easier form of gameplay. It's easier to DM, but I'm really, really excited about writing a story. I'm going to have it set on our college campus, which makes it really fun because my players know all the settings, and I'm like weaving an intricate story that I'm very excited about, but that I'm not allowed to tell anyone about because literally all my friends are going to be playing this game, so I can't tell them what the story is. I'm a little nervous about DMing. I think it's going to be a learning curve for sure, so you'll have to be patient with me while I'm DMing. But I'm very, very excited about it. Why don't you tell me what makes Dungeons & Dragons a great game?
My favorite thing about Dungeons & Dragons is that you can pretty much do anything you want to, as long as you, like, ask and roll well enough.
Yeah.
Because there, I mean, in some aspects, there are a lot of rules, but mostly that's related to combat and just how you determine, like, the results of actions and stuff based on rolls. But then in other aspects, there are, like, no rules because you can just do whatever you want as long as your DM is okay with it. And sometimes even if they aren't. And that's just because you get to be creative.
Yeah.
I think that's the best part.
My favorite thing about 5e, which is 5th edition, they have different editions of Dungeons & Dragons that they come out with. You've only played 4e?
3.5.
Okay, that's a shame. One thing that I really, really love about 5e is that if you solve something creatively, like go outside the box, your DM can give you inspiration, which means you can choose any role to take advantage.
Oh, that's cool.
Which is, like, very cool because it just rewards you for being creative. Another thing that I really like about Dungeons & Dragons, oh, my God, I keep saying it so fast. They literally probably can't understand what I'm saying.
Dungeons & Dragons.
Dungeons & Dragons. I'm really sorry I keep saying Dungeons & Dragons so fast. I'll slow down a little.
Make it a competition. Who can say it fastest?
Let's go. Ready? Dungeons & Dragons.
Dungeons & Dragons.
The campaign I'm playing in, we have a player who is a follower of the Goddess of Luck. So if we roll a nat 20, we get extra, 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 like something amazing. But if we roll a critical fail, then we're basically fucked because the Goddess of Luck has looked unkindly upon us. And I really like that. I kind of wish every game had a player like that.
Definitely.
Just to, like, raise the stakes.
Yeah. Because
it's really fun.
I once killed a party member because I rolled a critical fail in combat.
Oh my God, how did that happen?
So we were fighting these evil clerics and a god that someone accidentally summoned.
Is that someone you?
Yes. I was trying to stop it and I accidentally started it.
You say accidentally. I think you might be evil.
No, I was trying. There was an altar with a symbol. I tried to mess up the symbol. I didn't roll a good enough will save, and I got taken over and forced to.
So you were evil.
But it wasn't me. I was being controlled by an evil god.
That's philosophy. Can be debated.
One of our players was playing a cleric, a healer, And they were up on this, like, structure fighting an evil cleric.
Yeah.
And I had a crossbow, and I said, I shoot the cleric. God. And then I rolled a one, and Price was our DM, which one? And I, technically, I didn't kill him. I just knocked him unconscious, and then the evil cleric killed him.
Oh, God. That's not good. Yeah, I mean, it's not your fault.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you so much for seeing that.
Oh, my God. Have you been, like, bullied about this?
For, like, a year.
Oh, my God.
He came back to life.
Yeah.
But I still am blamed.
Well, that's what happens when you roll a crit fail.
Yep. And that's what makes D&D so fun.
Yeah, it's
because,
amazing.
Because, like, the weirdest stuff can happen based on one roll.
Yeah. My sister just texted me. Oh, God. Okay. We interrupt this program to bring you a text from my twin sister.
That should be, like, a segment that we do regularly.
I don't know if she texts me that often, but
texts
yeah.
from the twins.
So yesterday I got a call from my sister, and she said, Darcy, do you know what tied for the most nominations for the Tonys this year? What musical? And I was like, no, I haven't kept up with musicals. What is it? And she goes, SpongeBob the Musical, Darcy, SpongeBob. And it was, like, wild. It's the wildest thing I've ever heard. Like, it must have been the slowest year in Broadway.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, I guess this could be the best musical ever for some reason. I just don't like SpongeBob, so yeah. And then this morning she texted me and said, if you thought SpongeBob the Musical didn't have a rap song, you were wrong. And so I just got a text from her now, and it says, I just saw Patrick become the Pope, Darcy. I repeat. I just saw Patrick become the Pope, in all caps. And I just feel really bad for the struggle that my sister is going through because she feels like she has to watch this musical. And it's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard, and I feel really bad. Yeah. You know what? I'm going to call her. I want her to comment.
Get a cameo.
Yeah. Hey, Kinsey, I have you on speaker for the podcast. We'd like to ask you a couple questions about SpongeBob the Musical.
Okay.
My first question is why?
I mean, I think that's a loaded question.
Can you just give us because you're the only one of us here who has seen literally any of it.
Uh-huh.
Can you just give us a rundown of what it is?
Okay, so the synopsis is basically that Bikini Bottom is experiencing the apocalypse.
Oh.
And SpongeBob is trying to save it.
Well, wow. Isn't that just the story we all needed right now?
I mean, really. We've dealt with a lot already. About halfway through. We've got racial discrimination. We've got rekindled marriages.
Oh, my God.
We've got a cult that just started.
Holy shit. Wait, how did Patrick become the Pope? That's what I want to know.
Yeah.
Does Catholicism exist in the world of SpongeBob?
No. So basically, Patrick accidentally started a church.
Oh.
Wow.
Because he said, why don't we just all shut our eyes until it goes away? And the anchovies were like, wow, that's a great idea. So we have started the Church of Stars.
I don't understand.
I don't either, and I've been watching this for an hour and a half. Do you think I understand?
At least you've got something. We're just shouting into a void and receiving answers about the strangest musical in the world.
Yeah.
God, I can't believe. I want to know, who was rapping in the rap song? That's what I want to know.
Yeah.
Okay, so it was Plankton.
God, that's so much worse. If it was literally any other character, it'd be better than Plankton rapping. Actually, you know what a worse character rapping would be? Was Pearl, Mr. Krabs' daughter, the whale.
Oh, they've already had a duet together.
Who? Pearl and who?
Pearl and Mr. Krabs.
Oh my gosh. Wow. Father-daughter duet.
Was it very touching?
I mean, it was pretty good. I'm not
going to
lie.
Oh. I mean, you don't get 12 nominations for nothing, am I right?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I mean, I'm not sure I have any other questions for you. I mean, what you've seen so far out of 10, how do you feel the SpongeBob musical's doing?
Okay, I would say I'd give it like an 8 out of 10 so far.
That's pretty high.
You cannot blame them for not trying. There's so many details that I haven't even brought up.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay, I know we're shitting on this musical, but do you think, like I know it's a different kind of musical for most musicals, because it's probably more fun and goofy, but compared to, like, Book of Mormon, Hamilton, big musicals like that, how do you think it compares?
I'd say, I don't think you can really compare the two, because this absolutely knows what it is. It knows you're expecting it to be silly and fun, and it gives you that all the way through.
Wow, that was like a really professional answer.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you so much for coming on this podcast. I know that you're really famous and you don't have much time, what with watching the SpongeBob musical constantly.
Yeah.
So you're our expert for the episode. How's that make you feel?
I mean, it feels pretty good, I'm not going to lie. I think I'm getting what I deserve.
So does this count? Does this count as me letting you on my podcast for once in my life?
Yes, it does.
Wow, so when I'm really famous, you won't care anymore?
I did not hear any of that, but sure.
Okay, well, bye, Kinsey.
All right, bye-bye.
What were you even talking about?
D&D. We were talking about D&D. And then
yeah, I know.
Somehow, I don't know how we segued. Oh, because she texted you.
Yeah. Faith, do you think you have any, like, really good D&D stories that you could tell us
Yes,
about?
I do.
Okay,
I'm going to give you, like, a short little description, and you can pick which one.
Okay, this is great.
Okay,
it's like
so
a game show.
There's the time that I ended the world with a box, and there's the time that I used a very magical, dangerous, and little known about artifact. There's the time I killed a fuckboy. I think those are probably my top three stories.
I'd really like to hear more about the fuckboy.
I figured you would go there.
Did he have a name?
Yes.
What was it?
It was the most fuckboy name ever, and I apologize to anyone named this.
Yeah.
Chad.
Oh, God. I'm really sorry if your name is Chad. Like, that's a nice name, but yeah, it's like a fuck. Like, you think, what's up, Chad? What's up, my dude, bro? Scott fan.
Oh, man. Buddy.
Dabbing it out. Flipping the water bottles.
Let's drink some alcohol and
smoke
take our
weed.
Shirts off.
Yeah. Let's go lift at the gym. Uh-huh. Chad.
Whoa, my man.
Wow, we're hardcore stereotyping right now, and I'm really sorry. Anyway, tell me about your fuckboy friend that you murdered.
All right.
Wait, was he innocent? That's a lot of hesitation.
I'll let you decide.
Okay.
After I tell the story.
All right.
So, the thing you need to know about this campaign was that it was a game that my brother-in-law made up, where we weren't just playing a D&D campaign. We were people who were testing out a virtual reality game.
That is so complicated.
Mm-hmm.
So you're playing people playing a game.
Mm-hmm. We were ourselves playing the game instead of playing our characters. But we did have characters.
Yeah.
So we go into the game, and we're, like, playing and exploring, and you're not supposed to be able to attack other players.
Okay.
For their safety, because they don't really know what happens if your character dies in the game yet. Mm-hmm. That's kind of what they're experimenting. So we had just gotten out of an encounter, and we were kind of laying low, and then we saw this group of people up ahead in the woods, and there was, like, a fire, and we saw some people moving around it. So me, playing the rogue, the sneaky one, I am sent forward to, like, assess the situation. So I creep up there, and I'm watching from the trees, and there's, like, three guys sitting around the fire talking. They have just killed a person who was in the game.
Okay.
Like, a character. The body is, like, there.
Yeah.
And we had this little robot assistant that, like, helped us throughout the game. It was just, like,
name
a floating
R2D2?
Orb.
No. Oh. BB-8?
No.
Did it have
I
a
don't
name?
Think it had a name, no.
Wow.
You can pick a name for it.
Oh, good. MM-23.
All right. MM-23, the little helpful floating orb robot.
Yes. Well, you did have a voice.
Yes. Nice. It was, like, a pleasant British voice.
Beautiful.
So each group had one, like our party had one, and they were a party presumably because there was a little robot there talking to them and saying that there was a glitch in the game and the thing that disabled player-on-player combat was, like, destroyed. So it was now possible to kill other players.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, yeah, we should go find some people to do it and kill them in the game because that's how you really have fun.
Yeah.
Like, the computerized characters aren't fun to kill.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, they're dangerous. And I, instead of going back to my party and asking them what they wanted to do, I wanted to make things interesting. So I lured one of them away, And I walked up and I was like, hello. And the encounter we had just been in, we had lost lots of our clothing. I don't remember exactly why. So I was scantily dressed.
Hey, that's inappropriate.
I know. And I was just like, hello.
I hate you.
And he was like, well, hey there, pretty lady.
Oh, my God. That's so embarrassing.
I was like, would you like to come
please don't talk
over
like
to
that.
My camp?
Hey, please don't talk like that. I know that you talked like that in the game, but
have to be accurate
please.
To the story.
It makes me really uncomfortable.
Well, Chad liked it.
Chad. Okay, keep going.
And he was like, sure, yeah, let's have a good time. So I led him back to our campsite.
Mm-hmm.
And as they see me come, I'm a little bit ahead. I was like, stay right here and let me get things ready. Mm-mm. So I go
no,
in and I'm like, I'm
no,
bringing a guy
no,
in. Guys,
no.
Get ready.
Did you say that? Stay here and let me get things ready?
Something like that, yeah.
Oh, my God.
So I go back out and get him, and I bring him in, and we all just kind of start wailing on him.
Okay, I like how at the beginning of the story you were like, I'll let you decide if he was innocent. And then it was a guy who was like, let's kill some people in this game. There's probably no consequences. Like, it's literally a game. And then you were like, hey, he's a murderer. That's bad. Let's murder him.
Okay. We didn't know that there wouldn't be consequences for killing people.
Yeah, but then you murdered him.
Yeah.
So I don't understand how you're better than him.
I didn't say I was better than him. But anyway, we killed him and left his body there for his party members to find.
You're the people that are like, yeah, let's have sex, and then you murder them.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's exactly what I did. And then my party was like, I cannot believe you just did that.
You didn't have to kill him.
Yeah, I know, but it was fun.
Are you a murderer? Are you actually a serial killer?
No, not that I would tell you if I was.
Oh, God. How have we made it this long as friends?
Because I haven't murdered you yet.
Oh, my God, I hate you. All right, yeah. So I guess it's time for It's Just a Phase, which is where we talk about, it's like a segment where we talk about something we used to be obsessed with, but that we aren't anymore. And so Faith went last week, so it's my turn to go this week. And I think one that I wanted to talk about is anime. And so in sixth grade-ish, I think, I just got, like, super obsessed with anime and manga. Like, this is the worst part. I started trying to draw anime. I was so bad at it, though, and I, like, thought I was good. I was in a class where we had to make blogs. I forget what the class even was, something about computers. And so I decided to make a blog post about this anime drawing I made, and it just wasn't good at all. It was seriously so bad. And I remember this guy being like, hey, those aren't good. Like, and I was just, like, devastated and super embarrassed.
That's so mean.
Yeah, he's kind of an asshole. There are certain things I like about anime. It's very accessible and cheap. I like how it explores supernatural elements and things like that much more than Western shows do, probably just because it's cheaper to animate that kind of thing. You got anything to say about anime?
I was never that into anime.
Yeah.
The only thing I watched is Avatar The Last Airbender, if you count that as anime. Some mm-hmm. people do, some people don't.
Yeah.
And recently I watched Yuri on Ice.
Oh, who hasn't seen Yuri on Ice? It's so good and beautiful.
And there were manga books of the Warrior Cats series, which is what I talked about last week for It's Just
a
Phase.
Oh my God, I know we just talked about that last week, but I'd really like to look it up because I feel like maybe I read those, but I can't remember.
Yeah, well, they were really cute. And, like, the cat drawings were so great. And it's funny because I also tried to draw, like, after that, but I really would just, like, copy down the pictures from mm-hmm. them. And I read a lot of those. I don't think I read all of them, but I read a lot of those. I was really obsessed with that.
This explains why there's so many anime drawings of cats, like, when you search for warriors.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I didn't read these. I'll tell you what I did read, though. I read all of the Maximum Ride manga.
Oh, dude.
I'm not sure how much of that there was.
Aren't all the cat drawings so cute, though?
I mean, yeah, they're cute. They're cute.
Yeah.
All cats are cute. I cuddled with the cat for the first time ever yesterday.
Really?
Yeah.
Was it Bucky?
Yeah, it was Bucky.
Wow, I can't believe he let you do that.
I know. Bucky is our friend Alex's cat. He is kind of a demon cat. He's very mean.
Definitely.
Will scratch and bite you at the slightest opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
It's more of a playful thing, though. I guess he's not actually mean.
I don't know. Sometimes I wonder.
Yeah. I have been getting closer to Bucky, and I just have to forewarn you that I'm, like, I'm not so much anymore, but, like, the beginning of this year, I was very, very, very afraid of cats. Like, I could be in the same room as one, but if it, like, got near me or tried to climb on me or anything like that, like, I freeze up and it's, like, just very scary to me just because of, like, claws and biting and stuff. But I think Bucky has desensitized me to all that. And so, like, I really enjoy cats now. And I was sitting in Alex's bed. We were both studying because it's finals week. And he was being, like, weirdly cuddly. And he came over and I started petting him. And he was, like, fine with it, not trying to bite me. And then he, like, climbed on my chest and laid down. And I was kind of scared, like, a little bit frozen. But I started petting him and it was, like, really nice. And Alex was like, you don't have to let him. You can get him off if you're uncomfortable. And I was like, no, it's really nice. And so, yeah, that was, like, really, really great. Yeah. I loved that. Let's talk more about Yuri on Ice, because that's my gay show.
It's so gay.
Yeah, it's really good. Mm-hmm. Actually, it's not, like, the gayest thing I've ever seen, but I'll get to it later. The great thing about Yuri on Ice is it's very accessible. I feel like everyone can watch Yuri on Ice and be like, this is good. I mean, don't get me wrong. Some parts are, like, definitely anime and exaggerated and, like, different from the way Western things are made.
Yeah.
But it's just so good. The animation is, like, legitimately the most beautiful animation. Like, that first scene is the one that always wows me, with Victor skating with long hair and switching between younger long hair and older short hair. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just incredibly beautiful, and, like, the lines are crisp and there's, like, different layers and the lighting is amazing. And so, like, that's what got me hooked on the show. And then it has amazing music, like, incredible.
The music is great.
The storytelling is great. Yuri Kotsky is, like, the character that I relate to most in any work of fiction I've ever seen.
Wow.
His anxiety and fear over the future. Like, he's an incredibly capable person, very talented. He's just so afraid of failure that he, like, can't get past it. And seeing him kind of overcome that and, I don't know, just become more confident is really nice. And, like, in the first 5 minutes of the episode, he's crying, and, like, a man crying in this show is just, like, really great. He's very vulnerable but willing to work to get what he wants. And, of course, the show is hilarious.
Yeah.
Victor is very, very funny. I love Yurio, Yuri Plesetsky.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I like Victor a lot. I think he's probably my favorite character.
Really? Yeah. He's really good.
Uh-huh. I thought of another anime that I have seen some of, which is the Supernatural anime.
Okay, it's not very good.
I enjoyed it just because of Jared Padalecki's voice.
Yeah,
it's very good. Probably the only reason.
Yeah, so like so many people who watch Supernatural and are part of the fandom don't know about this anime.
Yeah.
So they made it, like, around the same time that they made season two. And it's basically, like, an alternate telling of season two. All the episodes are different except for the finale. And so it's all hell breaks loose, part one and two. And it's the same, but, like, little things are different. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no roadhouse. It's, like, some fortune teller. So, like, that's different. And it's, like, the story is told much faster. And they also, like, skip time where the show didn't. It's not that great. But if you like Supernatural and you, like, desperately need Supernatural content, it's free on YouTube. I'm not sure how many of our listeners will care about that. Why don't we move on to, like, your topic you want to talk about. What makes you happy and excited to be alive?
I was going to do something else, but then you talking about being impatient to share the campaign that you had written.
Yes.
Made me think of this thing called the Future Library. And they started it in 2014.
Yeah.
And they planted 1,000 trees. And basically every year they cut down one of the trees and use the paper from that to print a story. They ask an author to write a story, and then they, like, put it in the vault, and the author isn't allowed to share it with anyone except for the title. And then in 2114, we get to read the stories finally. Yeah. So I think that's really cool, and, like,
that's,
I'm excited.
So cool. It's like
for 2114.
It's seriously the world's biggest eco-friendly time capsule. Like, it's so nice. And like, I think you can go to the forest and just, like, walk around and they have this museum, I think, where they, like, store all the books.
Mm-hmm. And you can see the titles of the stories.
They're, like, in boxes, I think. Yeah. So you can't see the books or anything.
So one of my favorite authors, Margaret Atwood, who wrote The Handmaid's Tale and lots of other stuff, she has one in it, and hers is called Scribbler Moon. So,
you know what's a real bummer is that we are 100% not going to be around.
We
to
might
read
be.
That. We are not.
It's less than 100 years.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
From now, but not from when we were born.
Yeah.
I can't make it 125 years.
Sure you can.
It's physically impossible unless, like, the medicine catches up during our lifetime, which is very possible, but, yeah. Like, I don't know. If you, because you're a writer,
mm-hmm.
if you had a book to put in the 100-year library, what would it be about? Do you think you would write it with a future audience in mind, or just how you would write any other book?
I think I would try to write it to a future audience, but not too much, because I don't really know what they're going to be about.
Yeah.
So maybe, or what they're going to be like.
Yeah.
So maybe I would write it to now's audience, mm-hmm. and I think it would just be about, like, life and, like, some universal like a slice aspect of people, I think, that, yeah. that would still be relevant 100 mm-hmm. years later. But I would just want to make it, like, the overall theme, something relatable to everyone. Like, mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, I think that's what you want to do with any book.
Mm-hmm.
You know what would be great is if in 100 years racism is gone mm-hmm. and gay people are just like, yeah, we're just gay people or whatever. Mm-hmm. Trans people, like, that would be very cool. I think it'd be interesting really cool. to go to the 100-year library and let's say you wrote an LGBT young adult romance
mm-hmm.
and, like, them reading it and be like, okay, what's the big deal?
Yeah.
You know?
Uh-huh. That would be very cool. Yeah.
Yeah. I wish I could stick around just to see what the future is like. Mm-hmm. It's a curiosity that will never be satisfied for me. Wow, that's a real picker-upper, ain't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
See, I feel like whenever we were growing up, we, like, heard of so many people making time capsules and stuff. At mm-hmm. least I did, like, on TV shows and stuff. I've never found a time capsule.
Me
like,
either.
Did people in the 50s make them? Because I sure as hell haven't seen any. I haven't read on the news, like, time capsule discovered.
Yeah, I don't
and
know.
Things like that. Like, never.
No.
And so I hope our time capsules aren't just deteriorating in the ground.
Mm-hmm.
I know I made one time. It was super shitty. But, like, it still holds, like, a really special place in my heart because I, like, could never find it again. We buried it in my neighbor's yard, and we, like, tried to dig it up after, like, a couple years later, and we just, like, could not find it. It was this Cars lunchbox, like, Cars Lightning McQueen ka-chow. Uh-huh. And I forget what all we put inside it.
Mm-hmm.
I just remember being really, really attached to that Cars lunchbox. And, like, I want it now. Oh, you think they sell it on Amazon?
I don't know.
That'd be the most nostalgic thing. I'm looking it up. Just a
Sad
little
day.
Update for you listeners. We just spent a good 5 minutes or so looking for this lunchbox, and it's nowhere to be found. Antiques Roadshow, if you find it, hit me up. I'll pay $1 million for it when I'm rich. Not right now, though.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I don't think I ever did a time capsule.
Really? They're so fun.
Yeah.
We should make one.
Okay.
We can put, like, on Zoe 101,
uh-huh.
they made one. Do you ever watch that
mm-hmm.
show? Yeah. They made one, and they, like, recorded videos and put it on DVDs and put
cool.
it in there. Yeah.
But what if in the future they don't have any way to play DVDs? VHS is almost, like, gone from, like, our ability to play.
I think they'll have something.
Maybe.
People still have VCRs. Like, if they need
but,
to.
Like, most people don't.
Yeah.
I think the coolest thing, though, about the future library is that I would just, like, be so impatient to, like, I
know.
It would be so agonizing to write something and not be able to tell anyone about it because she's going to die before anyone can read it.
She's definitely going to die.
Because she's, like, in her 90s.
Yeah, she's very old. Yeah.
And, I mean, like, all these other authors probably.
I feel like that makes a good person.
Yeah.
Making content that you know will be
enjoyed after your death.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's end with a Tumblr post. Every week we read a post from a Tumblr called, randomreasonstolive.tumblr.com. So thanks to them for letting us read. And so, like, they post reasons to be alive. And so this is number 645. Faith, why don't you read it?
All right. It says, nobody will take care of my tarantula.
Like when you're gone,
uh-huh.
if you go?
Yeah.
That's so nice
mm-hmm.
because, God, everybody loves pets,
uh-huh.
especially those ranchos.
I don't know that I would ever have a pet tarantula.
I don't think I would either. I don't think it's because it's a tarantula and it's creepy. I think I require lots of affection from my pets.
Yeah, I think it's both for
yeah.
me.
Thanks to Jason Shaw for our theme music. It's called Solo Acoustic Guitar, and it's from the album Audionautics Acoustic. Thank you so much for listening. We've had a great time chatting with you folks.
Folks.
And we probably won't be making any more episodes until this August, just because we're both going home for the summer. We're
mm-hmm.
college students, so we'll be going home. We just don't have the audio equipment available for us. And we want this podcast to be the best it can be. So we'll see you this fall. And yeah, thank you so much and have a great rest of your week. Peace out.